This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Jewels of Illumination books 1-3 box set is out. Oban is a broken man who just might find redemption guarding a scholar from bandits, a criminal syndicate, and a dark necromancer. Avina is a woman haunted by guilt who has to learn if she can trust Oban. Together, they can break free of their past or be lost. You can buy or borrow Jewels of Illuminations book 1-3 from Amazon. Today, I'm joined by Tom Lloyd. He is the author of the fantasy novel Stranger of the Tempest, book 1 of the God Fragments.
How are you doing today, Tom?
I'm good, thank you, James. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's 9 p.m. where you are in England?
It is, yes.
Yeah, it's like, it's 1. So it's nice, the sun's out. So it's an unusual day here in Western Washington.
Lovely. Well, yes, we ended up with sunshine here. So we finished on a nice day.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, we're in March now. This is where our weather will change every 15 minutes. I've seen it go from rain to snow to sunlight to snow to rain to hail to snow and light, all in like a space of 20 minutes. It's just crazy, yeah. So, I always like to start these interviews off with a fun question or two. Tom, are you a cat person or a dog person?
Oh, that's easy. I'm a dog person. Excellent. I grew up with dogs. My dog Ripley is probably wandering around in the darkness outside my office right now, hunting for mice or foxes or something.
Oh yeah. Are you?
If you hear crazy barking in the background, that's her finding something or pretending she has.
Are you out in the country or?
No. We're very much the suburbs. She doesn't like too big a space to patrol, but this is just about right for causing trouble.
So are like foxes like the raccoons in England? Like they just wander around your neighborhood?
Yeah, pretty much. They should be a country animal, but they're so clever and they're so agile that they're perfectly adapted for the city.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen deer in this city here in Tacoma before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the wild animals can get into weird places. So, Tom, how long have you wanted to be an author?
I don't know. It seems a silly thing to say of an author. I started writing just by accident, really. I was bored and I didn't have anything better to do. And I wanted to sort of kill time because my parents were going to make me get a job. So I just I started scribbling down ideas. It was never really a dream until I went, hang on, I've been doing this for 6 months and I quite enjoy it and I'm still doing it. That wasn't like me. Normally I give up on things I'm not particularly good at straight away. So I just went, hey, maybe I'll keep going with it. I loved reading, but it never occurred to me that I could write a book as well.
Nice. So about how old were you? Like 16, 17 then?
Yes, well, I was 18. I just finished school. Okay. And I had 3 months before I went to university. And so it was a question of I was getting in the way in the house. And if I didn't actually shut myself in my room and write a book, then I might be get sent out to get a job.
Okay. And did you study like creative writing at university or something else?
I did politics and international relations. So there's a certain amount of invading people and blowing stuff up in the international relations side. The politics was less interesting, but there's still there was a good amount of philosophy involved. And when you're thinking about political systems, you're thinking about gods and morality, there's usually a few things that you can sort of dredge up from the memory there.
Yeah, it's you know, that can very much inform your world building when you're writing fantasy, you know, because you gotta think of like what sort of governments are these people going to have, like how are they, you know, associated, are they,
yeah, you know, and I think fantasy writers, a lot of us spend far much time thinking about that, and probably quite a few spend really not enough time thinking about that. I don't know anyone who sort of feels like they've got a sensible middle there. It's the nerds are really going into so much detail and then going to have to cut all this out because it doesn't make any difference to the book.
That was my first fantasy series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where I learned the yeah, it's great. I put all this backstory in it, and like 5% of it made it into the, you know, the 900,000 word series.
Yeah.
So I kind of took it back a step and kind of maybe didn't develop what if I didn't think it was really necessary, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like focus where I think it'll actually matter to get the most bang for my buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've done it in sort of several different ways. I started out clearly writing far too much detail. But for my last series, I was like, I always plan too much. I put too many details in the odds and everything like that. So I'm going to effectively try and wing it for as long as I can until I need to fix a problem. And then at some point in the book, all of this like backstory world will make sense and it'll have appeared in my head. But it was very much, I'm going to write something fun and then work out how it fits into the work. Fits into that sort of backstory and that world building, which was a fun way of doing things totally differently.
Yeah, I'm kind of like there were like where like I'm like, all right, I need something, and I'm like, all right, well, we'll just create like, I don't know, we'll do another historical, like, you know, figure or something, and
yeah,
we can just mention him here, and then I'll be like notes like go back into earlier part and just like drop a reference or two. Then it'll feel more organic and not me just making stuff up on the spot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think for my first series, because I was so keen to do all of that, I put in dozens of what were effectively red herrings. And so I just listed it with details all the way through, and some of it made no sense at all. And the editor had a hell of a job basically going back through and said, does this mean anything, or is this you just thinking of something that might be cool that you never remembered after like two pages later?
Oh no.
And then had to just admit, yeah, I was really making stuff up at that point.
That's right. I took my first series, I had 2,000 years of history of like from sort of this, it took place in like a flying, so all these like floating islands over this sort of storm. And at the start of it, 2,000 years ago, there was like this empire that ruled everything. And then they collapsed. And I took the history through their collapse and like the rise of all these like nations that are splintering off. And then as the situation worsened, as it sort of like it devolved into smaller and smaller nations as that just splintered into chaos. And then it hit a point where it started to reverse, where you started to see the growing of nations, sort of like the way Europe went from a bunch of small little places into like more nations. Yeah, and then like the Germany is a great example. It went from like city states to little provinces to, you know, to this country that we have because, you know, some guy in it's not even part of Germany any longer. Prussia was like, I'm going to just unite all the German speaking people and just conquer them all and make a country that's not as
weak. Yeah, we'll work out the details afterwards.
Yeah.
Once I've conquered everyone.
Yeah, well, the Germans like to do that. I mean, because that was, of course, because, you know, Hitler did the same thing, you know, 100 years later. So, but yeah, so, but it was all unnecessary. So I created like something like 400 different political entities. And like barely any of them got into the book. Some of them did. Like, especially like where my main characters were from, I kind of fit some of that stuff in. But it was so...
some of it's really useful for you to just understand where it's all coming from.
Yeah, but I didn't
need,
like...
asked you a question, how do you fix this problem? You know the historical reason, so you can sort of build up to an answer, even though it makes only sense to you, but it's totally logical.
Yeah, I could have done that, though, with less work. I didn't need to...
Yes.
Like, I could have just had the concept and where I needed to have the concept more fleshed out. But... it was there. It was it was a lot of work.
But it teaches you what you need to do, what you don't need to do.
Yeah.
It's all good practice, even if it does end up being published.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it just taught me to, you know, focus my energies, you know, where it matters for the story. And that's kind of my view on world building, to be like shallow across the world and deep in very specific locations.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of your books, Stranger of a Tempest, which is about Lynx.
Stranger of Tempest, yeah.
Yeah. He's a mercenary, he's not going to turn his back on some kidnapped girl. So sounds like a great guy.
He's not. He is a good guy. He's you could describe him as sort of almost a hero in waiting, or you could describe him as someone who's so deeply traumatized that he's pretty much sort of working his way to the most obvious death that isn't just shooting himself. So he's got a bit of a mix there, with a very checkered sort of military past. Well, his military past isn't that checkered, but he gets turned on and imprisoned by his own army for disobeying orders, effectively.
Okay.
So there's a huge amount of bitterness and some serious psychological problems going on there. And he basically has dragged himself out of that hole by saying, I'm going to do what I think is right, no matter what the cost to me. And then, of course, ends up getting caught up in this scheme, which seems to be rescuing a kidnapped girl, but then turns very quickly out not to be.
Okay. So who's the girl?
The girl is a woman called Toil, who is effectively a secret agent. I think that's the easy way of describing it. So she turns up stark naked, about to murder someone right at the start of the book.
Okay. That's a
reason that definitely made sense to me at the time.
Sure.
So she's about as amoral, and she's certainly not cowardly, but she's fixed on her mission and doesn't care about anything else that's going on. So she and Lynx have a totally opposite view of the entire world. And when he starts falling for her, that then starts being a little complicated for him, especially when he's trying to live to this sort of careful moral code, or some form of moral code that he's put together, and then just can't help himself but following this totally amoral woman. So I had a lot of fun with just playing the two of them off against each other.
Yeah, it's always fun having characters that get along. I did the book series I'm about to launch in May. Like, the character that kind of becomes like my heroine's best friend, they start out hating each other because they're very, she's a little bit too much like the main character's worst parts, is, you know, that's how why I wrote her that way. Right. She's supposed to be the, you know, the main character's flaws taken to, you know, a pretty bad point. Most of the female characters around her, her friends and companions and enemies, are kind of all supposed to be like, heighten aspects of her own personality, both positive and, you know, negative, to help on her character arc, of course.
Yeah.
But in the end, though, I didn't even expect this writing it, of course. Like, and that was one of the really
amazing things to find out about your book afterwards, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I really am glad. I think they have a really great relationship, and it's something I didn't plan. It occurred organically, as they kind of rubbed on each other until they kind of worked off their, you know, their rough edges, and, you know, it was interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I came up with the character of Lynx as much as anything, it was to justify the sort of image that I'd had in my head for his first scene. And I wanted to explain exactly how he got there. So I then did some sort of background work for that and came up with someone that sounded interesting to me and I thought I could have fun with. But I wasn't really expecting to sort of for him to have to work his way through various problems over the course of the series. And I just sort of I came up with the game. OK, he's got this sort of traumatized background. I'll work out the details of it later. But that means he can be here doing this. And effectively, chapter one, he wakes up in prison and doesn't know why he's there because he got so drunk. And there's another prisoner saying, yeah, you killed someone last night. And because he knows he's got problems, he knows he's traumatized, and he is a trained soldier, he's very much sitting there going, I have no idea if he's telling the truth. There's no way to tell. I've been badly beaten up and I'm now bound in prison. So it could be true, it could not be true. And knowing himself, he knows it's perfectly possible. So he then has to work his sort of way out of that. And that was just because I had the scene in my head for years and I never knew what sort of story I was writing. And then sort of it just built from there as he became more of a person.
Yeah, do you do that for a series? I kind of like have like an idea in my head of like, this would be a really neat idea. And I don't know what book series it'll work. And then one day I'll just be thinking of, I'll be like, hey, I think I know where I can plug this idea in and make it work. Yeah. Or write a 5-book series to get my character to a point to have this scene happen or something like that.
Well, yeah, Stranger was an odd one because I was sitting down very much going, I want to do a sort of a band of mercenaries story. I want to have some fun about that. So how do I do all this? So I was bringing elements together and I didn't have a plot. So I thought, okay, we'll write something not quite on spec, but we'll start with an idea and just see where it leads. Because I'd done novella a little while before that, which was basically writing practice. Where it was very much don't plan any scene, just put the first thing that comes into your head, write it, and then see where it takes you. So for Stranger, I had two short stories that I'd never written because they were just snapshots that I'd never actually been able to put together into a story. So one was rescuing a damsel in distress who turned out not to be a damsel in distress. That was originally meant to be a character for my first series. And the other image was the man waking up in prison, not knowing what he'd done. So I just stuck those two down and just carried on playing to see where it took me.
Yeah. I had an idea of like, what if like you're this like 16-year-old kid and the girl next door's father is abusive, but what if he's also a dark wizard? And I had that idea for years. And then I was like, I want to write a series about like some characters going on a fantasy quest. You know, like something like The Belgariad by David Eddings or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what if it's this boy who rescues this girl from her abusive father who's a dark wizard and he's, you know, supported by a cabal of other evil people that want to destroy the world and his abuse of his daughter is, you know, somehow involved in that.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. Now I can finally write this story and see where yes. It goes.
Yeah. It triggers something in your brain.
Yeah.
I've got notebook after notebook of absolute junk that will never end up in a book because I came up with an idea, I wrote it down and said, maybe that'll make sense in a few years, maybe it'll always be rubbish, but I've got to write it down and so it's there and one day I may flick back through the notebooks and find it, as I have done.
Yeah, I let them like stay in my head for years and see if anything like comes out of it.
Yeah.
Like if I still am thinking about it like 2 years later, then it's probably worth writing at some point.
Yeah, I've got one story idea which it's been in my head for over 10 years now and I still can't work out how to actually write it. And when I was signing up with previous agent, I explained the idea to him and he went, yeah, that sounds great, write that. And so then I then sort of listed the logistical problems of writing this book in terms of how to actually construct it. And he sat there with a very confused look on his face for about half an hour and went, oh God, that is complicated. Yeah, I'm glad it's your problem.
Right, Noel. I had an idea of like, what if there's a race of people that like they live time backwards, so they already know how it's going to end, mm-hmm. and yet they still do it. And they still, even if like they know like bad things will happen to them and stuff. And what if one day the character who knows that he's going to do something bad doesn't do it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's a great idea. I don't know how to write that.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those days you go, I think someone more intelligent than me needs to write this story because it's a brilliant idea and how do I do it?
I know, it makes my head hurt just thinking about it. So it's I probably will never write that idea. It needs someone that writes, I don't know. It needs like a Frank Herbert to write it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole sort of game. I'm just not good as that author. So I'm not going to attempt to do something that I think they should be the one doing.
Yeah. So when it comes to your plotting, are you, do you do a lot of outlining or are you more of, make it up as you go along?
I've been both. So I'm trying to, more recently, I've been trying to make it up as I go along. partly because I figure I've been doing this for a few years now, and I should have better instincts for it. So I shouldn't have to obsessively work out details quite so much. For The Twilight Reign and Empire of 100 Houses, I really worked out too much. And so I had all this detail that wasn't necessary, or so it was either cluttering up the page or it never even went into the page. So, yeah, I'm trying to get better at that and sort of be just more efficient with my time. And certainly for Stranger, I was doing things because it seemed sensible. It sort of, it felt the right thing, but I had no idea how it was going to work. So when I was the guns they use are magic powered. And that was simply because I couldn't be bothered to research the differences between matchlock and guns, flintlock, and how the mechanics of all of these worked and what would that mean for the sort of developmental level of the nations involved. And I thought, that sounds like too much work. So I'll make them magic guns. That'll be fun. Then I can have things explode. So I wrote that down, and then it just, as soon as I sort of sketched out a rough idea, it seemed to be the right idea. It seemed to work for me. And as it was, that informed the whole magic system and the gods that were involved. It described all of these things and then knitted it together. And I didn't work out how it knitted it together until probably book three. But I knew enough to get to that it would fit together at some point later on, because I was on the right track. So I think I'm at least getting better at knowing when I'm doing it right and when I'm doing it wrong, so I don't have to plot quite so carefully.
Interesting. Yeah, I plotted a book, and then my ending fell apart because I couldn't make it work, and I was getting really scared, and then I ended up pantsing a completely different ending that kind of just happened in the moment of writing. And it worked out, I think, pretty good. It was like I just wanted to have my Terminator-esque villain, sort of like the henchman villain, like show up, and I'm like, I couldn't figure out how he would find them, because he's not like that type of character that could like track you down. Yeah. If he loses your trail, he lost your trail.
Yeah.
And he lost their trail. They dropped him into a river, And then they're thieves, so they're really good at vanishing in a city. So like once they were in, like I was like, I can't make this work.
Yeah. Without something really implausible.
Yeah, it ruined everything. I had to dump a character sacrificing herself as a redemption arc, and it was a mess. But it opened new doors in the end, because that character now is in her own book series, having a different sort of redemption arc. So I guess I'm glad I didn't kill her, because now I'm using her. So, but what are you working on right now?
I am, well, I'm sort of working. I'm starting a new series, or I have been starting a new series for a little while, which is, I can't remember if I've got a finished title for it actually, but it's a traditional epic fantasy, sort of more coming of age than I've done in a long time, which I'm, well, very roughly, instead of just white stars, there are stars of many different colors. Okay. And it's a race who can sort of draw down the power of a particular color of starlight and channel those into weapons.
Oh, cool.
So I've been doing that for a while. I've been having great fun with it. And I keep doing world building just because it crops up in the brain. But I was meant to really get back on track. I'd had a rest after finishing God of Night. So I thought, okay, let's get into this. And I was finding it difficult because I was generally just tired with work. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And I got to the point going, I don't really have the mental energy to plot and write a really sort of quite big, complicated trilogy of epic fantasy. So I stepped to one side of it and wrote what was meant to be a SF novella, which is almost an homage to Alien.
Okay.
It turned out to be a 50,000 word novel, but the sort of the process of choosing to do something much smaller scale meant I could actually get something done. I wasn't overwhelmed with the whole situation. So I'm now meant to be going back to the novel, the short novel now. The SF is on submission with editors at the moment. So hopefully that'll go somewhere. But as soon as I said, right, I'm going to focus on the novel now. I've had a rest. Pandemic is certainly better than it was, even if it's not sorted out. We've at least got an idea of when children will be back at school, which makes life a lot easier for actually getting work done at home. So as soon as I decided right now is the time to get back to the novel, I've now just agreed to take on more work in the day job. So when I will actually be writing this thing, I'm not sure, but I think I may be describing myself as writing it for about the next 3 years while I actually find any time to do it.
Okay. Well, Tom, would you like to let the listeners know where they can connect with you on social media?
Yeah, there's a Tom Lloyd page on Facebook, and the easiest way to say hello, ask me a question, or just listen to me ranting incoherently is on Twitter. I'm at Tom Lloyd Writes.
That's what Twitter's good for.
And that's what Twitter's good for, yeah. Well, Twitter is, it's a deeply weird place, but it is so nice to be able to just get a message from a fan and you can just ping something straight back. It's brilliant for that. It's horrible for so many things. I love how quickly I can talk to people who I've never met, but who just, they've read a book and they loved it.
Yeah, and now they want to charge people to read your tweets or something like that.
I know. I'm trying to ignore that because it makes my head hurt to even think about what I do in that situation.
Right.
But I could never bring myself to be charging people, even if I thought people were willing to do it.
Yeah, I don't think my Twitter feed is worth spending money on. That's for sure.
No, half my Twitter feed is just me trading like childish insults with other authors.
Right.
Because that's mostly what we do when we're not writing.
Well, it was really great talking with you, Tom.
Good to talk to you too, James.
You have yourself a good one.
And you.
All right.
Great.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.